All right, guys. So welcome back to the Roger Sarn podcast, where we talk all things Army. And as always, I'm your host, Sarn Cruz. And today we're going to talk about a few regulations that I think you should be familiarized with as an NCO. And without further ado, let's get started.
Roger Sarn.
All right, guys. So as you already know, as an NCO, as soon as you get promoted, you are expected to know everything from that day forward. And tell me if that's a lie. Don't worry, I'll wait. We all know the day that you put them chevrons on, from there on, everyone's like, well, looking for you with all the answers. But the question is, who tells us what we should know, right? I get promoted, you're going to say, you should know everything from here on out because you studied for the board. And when I have an issue, I expect you to be able to address it. But no one tells us exactly what we should know. But don't worry, I got you guys. So here's some regulations that Sergeant Cruz thinks that you should know as an NCO. I think it's our bread and butter, especially when we're entering the NCO ranks, all right? So I'm going to talk about five different regulations in which I think are foundational for when you're moving into NCO ranks, you can start getting your feet wet, understanding what's going on. So let's go ahead and talk about it. All right, so the first regulation is FM7-22, Holistic Health and Fitness, right? The thing about Holistic Health and Fitness, right? It's PRT at the end of the day. They just renamed it. It's PRT. It's the first thing you do every single day when you come to work. Rain, sleet, or snow, you know you got to be there at 06:30. You guys are going to salute the flag. If you're on Fort Cavazos, you're going to do the spirit of the Cav, and then you're going in to NCOs, take charge, and conduct PT. So you need to understand this. And that moves me into my next point, which is NCOs lead PT. So at any given time, and I know you guys have been through it. I know for a fact because I've been through it. All of a sudden, the platoon sergeant or whoever's in charge of that formation at that moment, they'd be like, Sergeant Cruz, post. And you're like, holy shit, I didn't know I was doing PT today. And you probably didn't. But guess what? It's not an excuse to not be able to lead that PT session. One thing that you would probably know if you're looking at the training calendar or your PT calendar, you're going to know what's supposed to be done that day, or at least what's on the schedule, so you know what to look forward to. Because if you're looking at the PT schedule, you already know that if it's a muscle failure day, then you should have probably not done some type of exercises the day before at the gym. And you know, if it's a run day, you may have not wanted to do lower body because you're about to kick your feet the whole time for the next 2 hours, next 5 miles. So either way, right, NCOs lead PT. And whether you know you're leading PT or you don't know that you're leading PT, if you have a basic understanding of how to conduct PRT, then it's not going to be an issue for you. And if you're a gym rat, then you already have like exercises and stuff like that you can lead a PT session. My next point into that is, you have to teach your soldiers, because guess what? When they go to their first NCOES, which is BLC, Basic Leaders Course, they're going to have to get an assessment on it. Everyone has been through the PRT assessment, whether it was back in the day, you were doing something else, but you have been through the PRT. And as in Basic Leaders Course, you got to go through the assessment. So as an NCO, you should be preparing your junior soldiers that are going, or you know that are coming up in ranks, to start getting them ready for that. So when they get over there, then it's easy money for them because they've been doing it. The only thing they have to do at BLC is kind of like fine-tune when they their form, if you will. But the basic understanding of what to do, that's your job to teach. And you have to know the principles of PRT, right? Remember back in the day, it was time, intensity, all that stuff. Like PRT, no, don't get me wrong. I know the thought process behind PRT, and if you go to any given unit, you may not be doing the entire PRT session. A lot of the units that I've seen, they typically, they'll get up to MMD1 on a run day, and then they'll take off. Very rare that I see conditioning drills being done because people just don't believe in it. And be that as it may, it's still part of the Army. It's still a foundational portion. And you can incorporate that into whatever type of PT session that you may spin off from, but you're still going to have to do your preparation drills for sure. So knock those preparation drills out and whatever other drills that you're going to do in accordance with PRT, and then you put your spin, all right? And you do your exercises that you want to do, as long as you're not breaking people off too hard, right? I mean, because we're trying to go to muscle failure, but we're not trying to do 150 cherry pickers like back in the day, overhand claps and stuff like that. So PRT is one of the basic fundamental regulations that you need to understand as an NCO. The second regulation that Sergeant Cruz thinks that you need to understand as an NCO is ABCP 600-9, the Army Body Composition Program. And why do you think I believe that you should know this as an NCO specialist, corporal, moving into the NCO, into the sergeant realm? Because once you're a corporal, you're an NCO. You just get the both edges, right? It's kind of like the most unappreciated rank. But I digress. You have to know the Army Body Composition Program is because you're typically going to do that in a company to your ACFT. When you take an ACFT, you're going to have to, if you're an NCO, you'll probably be part of that team doing the height and weight assessment, right? Or you're going to get your height and weight assessed, and then your soldiers are going to get it assessed. So therefore, it's typically going to be done. You can't escape it, point blank zero. So it moves me into my second point, which is NCOs do height and weight. NCOs lead PT, and NCOs do the height and weight assessments. And what do you look like? What do you look like going into being tagged as one of the height and weight team, additional duties, and you don't know what the heck you're doing? Obviously, we're gonna use the 8-step training model, and we're gonna get everyone on the same page, right? Make sure that everyone's on the same page and understands. However, if you've done your homework, then most of the stuff, it makes it a lot easier for the person teaching it because they can speed up the process, right? Because there's a foundational familiarity. So you're going to be doing the height and weight assessment. And if you don't know what the landmarks are, especially now, you got the one landmark, but now it's a big deal because everyone's like, oh my God, you're doing it wrong. Man, I remember when I was an instructor at BLC and we did height and weight, and we did tape. When we did tape, it was the worst of the worst because soldiers at my unit, this was the famous tagline. At my unit, they don't tape me like that. At my unit, I was 3% under. At my unit, this. But when you go to the standard, when you go by the standard, it's kind of hard to kind of like argue that. So if you know the standard, it makes it a lot easier for you. You have to know the height and weight tables. Even though you're always going to have the height and weight book there, you got to know where to find it. You got to know when it's rounding up and rounding down, right? Like when you did the neck back when you had to do the neck, we're still kind of like in that 1-year period. I got to double check. But when you do the neck, which way do you round? Do you round up or down, right? When you do the waist, which way do you round? Do you round up or down? Right? Height and weight is to the nearest half inch or the nearest inch. When you're doing the tape, is it to the nearest half inch or inch? You got to know all these intricacies, right? And no one looks, no NCO looks worse than not knowing what to do with the basic, which is ABCP. You got to understand how to fill out the 5500 and 5501s, right? Because if you're going to put this soldier on the on a program, you got to make sure that that's filled out correctly. Even though a lot of these 5500s, 5501s, they kind of already automatically populate. For some reason, the Army doesn't like using those, but it works. And one of the biggest things about the about ABCP 600-9 is that it walks you through, and you have to know how to enroll a soldier into the ABCP. What are all the documents that go along with that? What appointments do they have to do? Who do they have to see? What do they have to do? What are the safe weight loss parameters and timelines that you can, so you can help your soldier? How many times in a certain amount of time can they be on that program before being pushed out the Army? And all these things you got to know, because it's your job to conduct preventive maintenance. And what do I mean by preventive maintenance? It means that you want to get ahead of the eight ball, meaning keeping your soldiers in shape. If you see that one soldier, Private Cruz, that's kind of looking borderline like I'm two cheeseburgers away from busting tape because my uniform's kind of tight, then you want to hone in on me. Be like, hey, we got to start getting this guy. We got to start getting you ready. We're going to have to start helping you out because we're conducting a PT test in 2 months. And you know, height and weights come right along. And on top of that, guess what? The commander can conduct a height and weight on you any given time. Right? So in order to help your soldiers, you got to understand the ABCP. Next one that I think that you need to understand is good old AR-670-1, the wear and appearance of the Army uniform and insignia, right? And this one's super simple. You got to know the basic standard of the military uniform. You know, you just got to know. It's super weird if you don't understand what's going on with your uniform. Your dress uniforms, your regular uniforms, how many badges can you have, where the tabs go, how many tabs can you have on, what side does each patch go on, right? You got to understand this. You got to know how to wear each uniform and the components, right? There's nothing worse than showing up to a ball and your and your ribbons are all out of whack. So understand that. You got to understand the do's and don'ts of being in uniform, right? And as we all know, hands in pockets, phones, PDA, amongst other things that you can't do in uniform. You know, so you have to understand this. And while we may think a lot of the rules and regulations that we have to go by are stupid, just lack of better terms, it's what we signed up for, right? And when we're enforcing standards, we don't enforce our preferences, we enforce the standard. And if you don't enforce the standard, then you created one, a new one. So it's you just got to know. You just got to know. This is basic, 670-1. And the next one that I think we need to understand as NCOs, especially when we're in charge of soldiers at the team leader level, squad leader level, platoon sergeant level, whatever level, is ATP 6-22.1. The counseling process. But Sergeant Cruz, who cares about counseling? Who gives a damn about counseling? I've been through my whole career and I've probably been counseled 3 times. And look at me, I made sergeant in 2 years, sergeant in 22 months, and I'm just fine. I don't need nobody to tell me what to do and how to do it. I know how to do it because I've been doing it. But guess what? You have to understand this because I think this is just personal opinion. Right? My humble personal opinion, I think a lot of the things that we don't do is because we don't know how to do them. Why don't we counsel our soldiers? Is because we don't understand the counseling process. That's my personal opinion. We can say that we don't have time, but it's weird to me that you don't have time. But as soon as that first sergeant calls and tells you that you need to go drive over here or you need to do this, all of a sudden you get time. It's weird that platoon sergeant says, hey, I need you to come with me over here and check this out, when you have no business being there. He's just taking you just to take you. But you got time for that. You get 30 days to write up a damn counseling. You tell me you ain't got time? Nah, I'm not buying it. I think it's because you don't have the knowledge. So there's different types of counselings, right? You got to understand the counseling types. There's event, there's performance, and there's professional growth. An event, something happens. You document it. The performance, how'd they do? Document it. Professional growth, how are they looking moving forward? What do they want to do? What do you want them to do? What's in their career path? You got to understand to use these tools. And at the end of the day, when you write all these counselings, their performance event, like, it doesn't have to be negative in nature. It can be normal counselings. It can be something that they did positive, because all you're doing is creating a track record. If Private Cruz is under you and you document everything, I'm not doing good and I am doing good, when it's time to talk to the platoon sergeant goes into that, all the platoon sergeants go into the office with first sergeant, and they're discussing waivers. Now you have ammunition to either be pro or against the waiver for Private Cruz, right? If Private Cruz is killing it and it's on paper, you can be like, hey, he's done this, he's done that, he's done this, he deserves this waiver. And on the flip side of the coin, he hasn't done this, he hasn't done that, I don't think you should give him a waiver. Yes, his PT score is through the roof, but his attitude is crazy. So you got to understand the what the counselings do. It writes their award, their end of tour award, because you have everything documented, everything they've done. And that's just my thought process on that. Next part about that is, I think it discusses the fundamentals, right? The five fundamentals of counseling, which is purpose, flexibility, respect, communication, and support. If you're counseling a soldier, you got to understand that. What's the purpose of the counseling? Like, are you the type of NCO that just goes in there guns blazing? So you're not flexible. You're not there for, you don't have any dialogue. And that could come off as disrespectful to the person being counseled. So now they say, think that you don't have respect. The communication should be a two-way communication. And you should use a closed-loop format, right? You send a message. Message is out there. Receive the message. And you parrot it back. Make sure there's understanding and support anything that they got to do or they want to do or you want them to do. And then there's also like the stages of counseling that counseling process talks about. ATP 6-22.1, identifying the reason for counseling, preparing, conducting, following up on the counseling. I can't tell you, I was in the Army for about 5 years before I knew about the follow-up. Every counseling that I had, they were all open. And I remember it was Sergeant Jackson at the time. I was in Schweinfurt, Germany. And he's the one who told me about it. He was like, all your counseling, because I was given to him. He was like, all your counselings are open. I was like, what? What are you talking about? He's like, dude, there's no follow-up. So how does anyone know if you're getting better or getting worse? Because there's no follow-up. So you got a bunch of open counselings. And that was when we were getting prepared to send me to the board. So there's so many things that ATP 6-22 talks about that you need to understand, right? So off my soapbox on that, the last one, number five, the last one, AR 600-20, Army Command Policy, right? This talks about like the chain of command, the support channel, the responsibilities for you, to you, for the command, for the battalion or company. It talks about the open door policy. The commanders must have an open door policy. A lot of times it's very nice, or you should or could tell your support channel, hey, I'm about to use this open door policy right quick because I got this going on, and I just don't want to talk about it with no one else, or I've spoken about it and no one seems to hear me. But yeah, it talks about the open door policy. It talks about military discipline and conduct, right? And that just holds like not little things, but like things that you probably wouldn't think of, like extremist activities. What's that? Is it tolerated? Is it not tolerated? It even goes down to like the language policy, because nowadays, I speak Spanish. I was in Germany for 10 years, so I do understand a lot of German, and I speak a little bit of it. So I have side conversations. I'm pretty sure all you bilingual soldiers or people who speak more than one language, you guys have been caught up talking to other people or your compadres in another language. And I remember I was deployed, and I'm not going to say his name, but he was a staff sergeant. And me and my buddy, we always talk Spanish. And he always said, "You can't talk Spanish, blah, 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 blah." And I was like, "All right, cool." So we just didn't talk Spanish around him. But when we were in our chew, we talked Spanish, obviously. But and then later on, you start understanding the language policy. And if I would have known that, I mean, I would have still been respectful, but I would have known that what it says and that I wasn't being a dirtbag. That's all. And most importantly, it talks about sharp and EO. Right? So all of that is inside AR-600-20. And those, my people, are the five regulations that Sergeant Cruz thinks are the NCO's bread and butter when entering the ranks of NCO that you need to understand. We're talking about FM-7-22, ABCP-600-9, AR-670-1, ATP-6-22.1. That's always a mouthful. And AR-600-20. You understand these, and then you just keep building on it. But I think there may be others. If there are other ones, just put it down in the review. Tell me which other ones you think that are also beneficial to know. Or if you think that these five are trash and that you should know something else, hey, I get it. Just let me know what it is. But this is my thought process. And for next episode, we're going to be branching off from that. We talked about the do's and don'ts in uniform with the AR-670-1. We'll be talking about, I think I'll have 5 to 7 do's and don'ts in uniform. So stay tuned to that. But in the meantime, just make sure you guys understand that as NCOs, I'm going to wrap this up. I ain't trying to hold you guys any longer. Been already going hard for like 20 minutes. NCOs have the most contact with soldiers. If you're an NCO, you are always front lines with the soldiers. You got to know the basics to help your troops. And just at the end of the day, I can't restate this enough times. You want to be a well-rounded NCO so you can help your soldiers. All right, guys, so that's it. Thank you guys for listening. Go ahead and download, leave a review. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, or ideas for the show, go ahead and send them to my Gmail at rogersarn@gmail.com. If you want to be on the show, a junior soldier, definitely junior leaders and junior soldiers, I'd like to interview you guys, see what your perspective is from your foxhole. Same thing, just email me at rogersarn.com. Follow me on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at rogersarn.com or at rogersarn. And as always, remember, you don't have to embrace the suck if you got the right tools in your ruck. I'm Sergeant Cruz, and I'm out.
Roger, Sergeant!